You're listening to a WebYeshiva.org podcast. Visit www.webyeshiva.org to take part in our fully interactive online yeshiva. Visit blog.webyeshiva.org for more free downloadable Torah content.
Hello, this is Ilana Goldstein-Sachs of Web Yeshiva with this week's Midrash of the Week podcast. This week we're going to look at a Midrash connected to the personality of Yitro. Now, Yitro, as you probably know, has a pretty significant role in the Torah itself, and there are many, many interesting Midrashim about him, right? Midrashim which explain all sorts of details about him. For example, one of the famous things about him is that actually the person that we think of as Yitro might possibly be, according to the Pshat of the Psukim of Torah, a number of different people, right? The Midrash tells us that Reuel and Yitro and Chovav and Chever and a number of others are all the same person. Right? Whether or not this is true according to the Pshat of the Psukim is debatable, and there are Mefreshim who say one way and Mefreshim who say the other way, but according to the Midrash and very much according to popular understanding, they're all the same person, which is in itself an interesting fact, right? Because not all midrashim which equate one person to another, is it generally accepted that that is the way that we read the psukim? Whereas with Yitro, one very much feels very often that that's what everybody assumes. That's an interesting fact about Yitro. Another famous thing about Yitro, right, is that this idea that he converted, right, that he was originally a priest in Midian of whatever religion it was that they had in Midian, some type of Avodah Zarah, and that, due to his connection to Moshe, and hearing about the miracles that Hashem did for Am Yisrael, he ended up converting. Again, this is something that is debated among the commentaries, right, to what degree he, quote, converted. But it is a widely accepted view on the personality of Yitro. Now, Yitro appears, or possibly appears, in this week's parsha, right? The Psukim mentioned Chovav, who was the Choten Moshe, right? Whether Chovav was actually Yitro, as some Midrashim assert, or whether he was a different family member, perhaps a brother-in-law of Moshe. Again, this is debated by the commentaries. But that is certainly one opinion. So the Midrash that we're looking at today really doesn't have anything to do with this week's parasha, but it is connected to this personality of Yitro. Now, as I mentioned, there's this opinion in the Midrash that all of these various people that I mentioned before are all the same person, are all one and the same as Yitro. And this is the basis of many other Midrashim. In other words, many other Midrashim assume this idea in them. I'd like today to look at a Midrash that appears in the Mechilta of Rabbi Ishmael. And the context of the Midrash is when Yitro comes to see his son-in-law, Moshe, in Perek Yudchet of Sefer Shmot, right, just before Matan Torah. When I say just before Matan Torah, I mean just before the Perek which describes Matan Torah. Again, there's a debate in the Midrash and the Mefreshim as to whether the story of Yitro coming actually occurred after Matan Torah or before Matan Torah. But that's a subject of a different shiur. The Midrash, as we will see, actually doesn't discuss specifically the event of Yitro coming, but that is the context in which it is found. And we'll see in a moment what event specifically it refers to. For those who are interested in seeing it inside, who don't have the Mechilta in front of them, you can find the source on the website. So the Midrash says the following. Ve'et shnei baneha Vigomer. Okay, first, perhaps a little context will be helpful. The beginning of Perek Yudchet and Sefer Shmot says the following: Vayishma Yitro Kohen Midyan Choten Moshe et Kol Asher Asah Elohim Le Moshe Uli Yisrael Amo Ki Yotzi Hashem Et Yisrael Mimitzrayim. Right? Yitro heard what Hashem had done for Yisrael, taking them out of Egypt. Vayikach Yitro Choten Moshe Et Tzipora Eshet Moshe Achar Shilucheha. Yitro takes Tzipora after Moshe had sent her away, Ki amar ger haiti ve'eret nochriya. V'shem ha'echad Eliezer ki Elohei avi be'ezri v'yatzileni mi'cheref paro. Right, Yitro takes his daughter, Zipporah, who was Moshe's wife, and Moshe had Zipporah's two sons, Gershom and Eliezer, and brings them with him to meet Moshe near Har Sinai. Now, when it mentions the two sons of Moshe and Zipporah, it explains what their names mean. Right? And about Gershom, the older son, it says, Ki amar ger hayiti be'eretz nochriya. Right, so that is the context of this midrash. Ve'et shenei baneha v'gomer nochriya. So the midrash is commenting on the word nochriya, which means foreign, be'eretz nochriya, in a foreign land. I was a stranger in a foreign land. Rabbi Yoshua omer, eretz nochriya haita lo vaday. Right, he's just understanding this, the fi pshuto. Right, surely, right, when he arrived in the place, there's a debate as to whether the land that Moshe refers to when he referring to that I was a stranger in a foreign land. Was he speaking about Midian when he first appeared in Midian, or was he referring to Mitzrayim? Right? He realizes now that he was a ger, even when he was living in Mitzrayim where he grew up. Rabbi Elazar Hamoda'i Omer Be'eretz Nochriya Necharya. Right, something which is estranged from God. And now the Midrash is going to explain what he means by this. Amar Moshe, Hu'il v'chol ha'olam ovdei avodah zara, ani avod l'mi she'amar v'haya ha'olam. Right? Moshe sees himself as different from everyone else. Everyone else is idol, our idol worshippers. I am going to worship Moshe says, the true creator. She'bisha'a she'amar Moshe li'yitro, ten li tzipora bitcha li'isha. When Moshe said to Yitro, give me your daughter, Zipporah, to be my wife, Amar lo Yitro, Yitro said to him, Kabel alecha davar ze, she'omar lecha, va'ani notna lecha le'isha. Right, do this one thing that I tell you, and I will give her to you as a wife. Amar lo mahu, Moshe says, what would you like me to do? Amar lo ben shi'yeh lecha tchila, yeh le'avodah zara. Yitro makes a condition for the marriage. The first son that you have will be dedicated to Avodah Zarah. He will be an idol worshipper. Mikan ve'edach l'shem shamayim. All the other sons after that will be for God, for Hashem. V'kabel alav, Moshe accepted this deal. Amar lo, Hashveali, swear to me, Vayishavalo, Shenemar, Vayoel Moshe. There's a pasuk where it says, Vayel Moshe, Lashevet Etaish, right? Ein Allah, Ela Lashon Shvuah. Right, that's an indication to the Midrash that he swore to Yitro that he would do this. And then the Midrash brings a couple of examples to prove that that word, Vayoel, means to swear. Lefichach hikdim ha-malach laharog et Moshe. And that's why the malach wanted to kill Moshe. Right? This is a reference to the story in Perek Dalet, right? The strange story of the Malon in Perek Dalet, where Moshe and Zipporah and the two sons are on their way to Mitzrayim after Hashem spoke to Moshe at the Sneh, and Moshe is now going to help take Bnei Israel out of Mitzrayim, and they're in this Malon, like this place where they're staying overnight on their way down to Mitzrayim, and they kind of they're staying there for a little while, and it says, the Torah says that a malach came to kill Moshe. And it's one of these very cryptic stories where it's not clear exactly why, but we do know that in the story that Zipporah saves the day by giving a brit milah to her son. Miyad vatikach Zipporah tzor, right, she takes a flint rock, Vatichrot et orlat bina vigomer, and she cuts the foreskin of her son. Vayiref vigomer, and the malach leaves Moshe alone. Yeah, a very fascinating story, the story of the Malon. Many different ways of understanding and interpreting it. This particular midrash understands the story in this way, right? That Moshe, because of this deal with Yitro, does not circumcise his older son. Because of this, Moshe, Hashem wants to kill Moshe, and Tzipora realizes this, and she gives her son, and she realizes why, and she gives her son a circumcision, right, the one who was uncircumcised, in order to save Moshe's life. Now, this Midrash is fascinating on a number of levels. You know, that Moshe would agree to such a thing, right? That the Midrash would admit that Moshe would agree to such a thing, right? Perhaps this is a hint to the fact that at this stage of Moshe's life, he's still growing, he's still learning, he's still growing into his position as the Moshe that we think of when we think of Moshe. What's also interesting is what it says about the character of Yitro, right? If indeed Yitro later converted, certainly at this point he has not yet done so. And he very strongly, right, is a supporter, an advocate, a believer in Avodah Zarah. And that's why he requires Moshe to dedicate his first son to Avodah Zarah. Part of what I think this Midrash is doing is simple parshanut, meaning taking all of the disparate parts of this very strange story and trying to find a solution, right? Figure out a scenario that explains all of the different details of the story. And it does a pretty good job, in my opinion. My teacher, Rabbi Shmuel Klitzner, once pointed out something very interesting in the story of the Malon. He points out that if you look at the psukim just prior to the story of the Malon, you see something very interesting. Hashem is telling Moshe what it is that he has to tell Paro, right? He's now going back to Mitzrayim. He's about to start his job as the leader of Am Yisrael and the one who has to go before Paro and say, you know, let my people go. So in preparation for this, Hashem is kind of coaching Moshe. And so this is in Perek Dalet Pasuk Kaf Aleph. Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Belechtecha Lashuv Mitzrayim, Re'e Kol HaMoftim Asher Samti Biyadecha, Va'asitam Lifnei Faro. Right, you're going to go before Paro and you're going to do all these wonders that I have taught you. Va'ani Achazek Et Libo, V'lo Yishalach Et Ha'am. Right, I'm going to harden his heart and he's not going to want to let them go. Va'amarta El Paro, Ko Amar Hashem, Beni V'chori Yisrael. Right, you're going to go before Paro and you're going to say, thus says Hashem, Yisrael is my firstborn. Meaning, don't beat up on my son. You're gonna regret it. Right, most people, understandably, understand this last part as a continuation of what Moshe has to say before Paro. Right, Bnei Israel are my firstborn, so I say to you, let my son go that he can worship me. Right, and you are going to refuse to let him go. V'timayin l'shalcho, behold, I will kill your firstborn son. Right, that seems to be the pshat of the pasuk. What Rabbi Klitzner showed to me is that you could read the pasuk in a very different way. V'amarta el Paro, ko amar Hashem b'ni v'chori Yisrael, go Moshe and tell Paro, Yisrael is my firstborn. The Omar Elecha, Hashem now says, and I say to you, Moshe, Shalach et Beniva Ya'avdeni, let my son go that he can worship me. Vatimayim Neshacho, and you refuse to let him go. Hinei Anochi Horege Bincha Bechorecha. Right? Behold, I'm going to kill your firstborn son, Moshe, because you refuse to let him go to worship me. Right? Think back to our Midrash. Vayhi Vaderech Tamalam Vayif Kisheo Hashem Vayivakesh Lahamito. Right after that pasuk, it goes immediately into the story of the Malon. Now, if you look carefully at the story of the Malon, it's not entirely clear who the malach wants to kill, Moshe or the baby. And one very possible way of reading the story is that he wants to kill the baby. Another possibility, which by the way is mentioned later on in the Mechilta, shortly after our midrash, this opinion is given by Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Now, that is not the opinion in the Midrash that we read. There it says clearly that he wants to kill Moshe because the baby doesn't have a brit milah. But nevertheless, it's interesting to think that perhaps that interesting way of reading the pasuk was kind of like a tip-off to the Baalei HaMidrash, right, that there was something with Moshe here, that Hashem is saying to Moshe, let my son go, meaning your oldest son, to worship me because you're not letting him do so, right? And that perhaps is this, like, you know, this fertile ground that I'm often referring to in Midrash, for the Midrash to build up the story in order to explain the story of the Malon. The one last question I'd like to ask about this Midrash, I mean, obviously, you know, one could talk a lot more about the story of the Malon and the connection of the Midrash to it, but my question is, why is the Midrash brought here in this context, in Parshat Yitro, right, when Yitro comes to visit Moshe, right? After all, Gershom is born in Perek Bet, the story of the Malon happens in Perek Dalet. Why does the Midrash bring it here? Well, in all honesty, right, the simple answer is probably simply because there is no Michilta on Perek Bet or Perek Dalet. And the reason for this is that the Michilta is a Midrash Halacha, a Midrash which primarily deals with the legal portions of the Torah, although it contains many Agadic Midrashim. It only exists on the Prakim, where the parts of the Torah which are mostly legal, and therefore where those previous stories occur, where Gershom is named and where the Malon story occurs, there is no Mechilta. So right, so it's put here because there's no other place to put it, so to speak. And we know well, right, that Midrash is often organic and associative. So right, this makes perfect sense that the Midrash would be here. And, you know, after all, if you look at the story here in Perek Yud-Chet of Shemot, the explanation of the sons' names does appear, right? When Yitro brings the sons, it explains their names. And so, therefore, you know, a Midrash on the explanation of the names, you know, can be brought here as well. Nevertheless, this question still stands out in my mind when reading this. Right? Meaning, what is the relevance of these midrashim being brought here in this current context? Are they at all connected to what's going on in this parak? And what I think what this midrash really does is beg the question: why are the explanations of Moshe's sons' names here at all? Right? Why do they appear in the story in the first place? If you read the story, there's no real reason that those explanations, it seems, right, have to be brought here. It seems somewhat superfluous, actually. You know, it simply could have said, Yitro came with Moshe's two sons, period. Right? Why bring up their name, not their names, but the explanations of their names here? And a careful look at the context, I think, clarifies both of these questions, right? Why the name explanations are brought bichlal, and why this midrash is very relevant to this parak. So if you look back at those first few psukim of Parak Yud-Chet, what are we told again? Vayishma Yitro Kohen Midyan Chotein Moshe Ekol Asher Asa Elohim LeMoshe Ulyisrael Amo Ki Hotzi Hashem Et Yisrael MiMitzrayim. Right, we are told that Yitro came because he heard of everything that Hashem did for Moshe and Yisrael, right, that he had taken them out of Egypt. We are then told that Yitro brought with him his daughter Tzipporah, Moshe's wife, and their two sons, right? And as we saw already before, who are their two sons, right? Gershom, the young, I was a stranger in a foreign land, and Eliezer, the younger, God has saved me from Paro, right? Ki Elohe Avi Be'ezri Vayetzileni Micherev Paro. Those are the meanings of the two names. I was a stranger in a foreign land, and Hashem saved me from Paro. Right? So if you think about it, right, in other words, the names of Moshe's sons, Yitro's grandsons, reflect the very events which brought Yitro to Moshe. Right? The fact that you had these people who were strangers in Mitzrayim, in a foreign place, and Hashem saved them from Paro in Mitzrayim. Now, what is interesting, of course, is that these names were not given to these boys in commemoration of Yitzhak Mitzrayim of Bnei Israel, right, which had not yet occurred when they were born, but rather in commemoration of events in Moshe's own life. Right? Gershom was named Gershom because he was a stranger in a foreign land. Right, again, some say this refers to Midian, others say that it refers to Egypt. Gershom, right, I was a stranger there, right, say some Mifrashim, right, I was a stranger in Egypt. Eliezer, right, God saved me, Moshe says, from Paro, right, when Paro wanted to kill me for killing the Mitzri, right, before he runs away from Egypt and goes to Midian. Now, one realizes, by these name explanations being placed here in this story, that Moshe's personal story and that of Bnei Israel are very parallel, right? That there are a lot of similarities between what happened to him personally and what happens later to Am Yisrael. So it is not coincidental that the description of Yitzhak Mitzrayim echoes the explanation of Elazar's name, Vayetzileinu Micherev Paro. Right? Look through Perek Yudchet and you'll see that the word Hitzil is repeated numerous times, right, when describing Yitzhak Mitzrayim in this Perek, right? Echoing again the name of Eliezer, Moshe's second son. Now look again at Pasuk Aleph. Vayishma Yitro Kohen Midyan Chotein Moshe Ekol Asher Asa Elohim LeMoshe Uli Yisrael. Yitro comes because of what Hashem did for Moshe and for Yisrael. This might simply mean that he succeeded, that he took Bnei Israel out of Mitzrayim, and that Moshe also had great things done for him, right? That he succeeded in going before Paro, that he brought the Makot, etc. Right? But the names of these boys, you know, reminds us, right, you can't help thinking that it's more to it than that, right? That Hashem, that Yitro remembered, realized what Hashem did for Yisrael, he heard what Hashem did for Yisrael, and also for Moshe, right? What he had done for Moshe earlier, which is so parallel, as we see by the names of his children, to what happens to Bnei Israel, right? And perhaps that's what hinted to a little earlier in the Mechilta, a little bit before our Midrash, where the Midrash comments on this pasuk, et kol asher asa Elohim leMoshe uli Yisrael amo, shakal Moshe ki Yisrael, v'Yisrael ki Moshe, shakal Rav ki Talmid v'Talmid ki Rav. Right, the pasuk is equating, is making of equal weight Moshe and all of Am Yisrael. Now, this may very well be that the Midrash is simply saying that the pasuk is saying that Moshe is just as important as all of Am Yisrael, right? And therefore, what was done to him was, and therefore, anything that was done to help him is as important as what happened to all of Am Yisrael. But it could also be saying that they are equal, they are shakul, they are parallel to each other, Moshe and Am Yisrael. Now, back to our Midrash. Yitro, way back when, then, you know, in Perek Bet, insists that son number one be dedicated to Avodah Zarah because, well, you know, Yitro, he's got the upper hand, right? He's the important man in Midian. He's the father-in-law. And if you look at the story, when Moshe first comes to Yitro, right, Yitro is always referred to as Kohen Midian, consistently, right, over and over again. Moshe, on the other hand, at that point in the story, is basically a nobody. He's left Mitzrayim. He's no longer living in the palace there. And when he gets to Midian, he's you know, nobody knows who he is. He hasn't done anything important yet. Then Moshe leaves on this great mission, right? And word gets back to Yitro that he was actually successful. And when Yitro hears specifically what has happened, right? I imagine to myself, right, that upon hearing this great news, he looks at his two grandsons, and as we say in these parts right here, Nafala Simon, right? Suddenly he's like, oh my goodness, right? And he tells them, you know, he says, you know, boys, you know, we're going on a trip, right? Suddenly he understands the significance of Moshe, right? And of course, of the names of his grandchildren, right? It's also relevant to note that the names Gershom and Eliezer are also hinted at in the story of the telling of the story of Yitro and his family. Right? When Moshe first arrives at the well in Midian, it says that the shepherds came to Tzipora and her sisters. Vayigarashum, right? They chased them away. The shepherds chased away Tzipora and her sisters from the well. At which point, right? Vayigarashum, of course, echoes or is a precursor of the name Gershom, Vayigarashum, at which point, Vayikach Moshe Vayoshian, Vayakol Moshe Vayoshian, Vayashketzonam. And Moshe saved them. Right? And here the word for saving them is Lehoshia. But when the girls report the story later on, they say, Ish Mitzri Hitzilanu, right? Vayatzileini Michera Paro, right? The same word Hitzil that we see in the explanation of Eliezer's names and also in the descriptions of Hashem saving Bnei Israel. Right? So essentially, Yitro's family here is saved just as Moshe was saved earlier and Bnei Israel is saved later. So one might speculate that upon hearing these reports about what happened to Moshe and Bnei Israel, and coming to recognize with new understanding the significance of his grandson's names, he also began to reevaluate his own history. It's the degree to which he had been a stranger, the degree to which he had now been redeemed in his own way. So the placement of this midrash here, right, in this parak, in parak Yud-Chet, essentially brings the story full circle. The midrash is explaining, you know, without really saying so, because the midrash likes us to do the work, the process or part of the process of Yitro's, quote, conversion, right, of his gradual recognition of the greatness of God, of Hashem's miracles, and Moshe's role in all of that. Right? And not coincidentally, in this parak, in parak Yud-Chet of Shmot, Yitro is, except for the introductory pasuk Aleph, Yitro is always referred to as Chotein Moshe, right? The father-in-law of Moshe is no longer referred to as Kohen Mijan, right? So now the emphasis, right, the point of reference has now tilted, right? It's no longer Yitro, who is the priest of Mijan, and he's the important guy. It's now Moshe who is the point of reference, and Yitro becomes Moshe's father-in-law because of his new understanding of the significance of Moshe, Moshe's history, and everything that Moshe has done. So, as we can see, right, neither the name explanations of Moshe's sons nor this midrash are really out of context by being brought here in Yud-Chet, and it's not merely because of the organic nature of midrash and the fact that there's no midrash on Perek Bet that they are brought here. Rather, they are very, very much in context, and they very much enhance our understanding of why Yitro came in the first place to meet his son-in-law Moshe.